Y'all remember, I don't know if you, like me, grew up watching wrestling. Maybe you did. You know, that's how you say it, right? Wrestling.
Right.
Not wrestling, wrestling. I don't know if you grew up watching it like I did, but y'all remember the tag team, the Fabulous Ones?
Yeah.
Well, y'all get the Fabulous Ones this morning, Jimmy and I.
That's right.
Well, that's not quite good.
I knew there was going to be some kickback
yeah,
on that.
Yeah.
But seriously, it's going to be a little different message than we've done it before. We are going to seriously tag team this message this morning. We're in the midst, as I said last week, of the emergency broadcast system. It's a two-part message, the state of the church. Last time we looked at what is a healthy church, and this morning we're going to look at how healthy is our church. So your regular programming, so to speak, will return next week when Jimmy brings us back to follow me a walk through Luke's gospel, and so that will be next week. Remember what I said last week, that checkups are very important to your physical health and they're important to spiritual health, but I noted two problems with a checkup. We tend to overestimate our health. And so people tell me they exercise more than they really do. Their weight ends up magically increasing by 20% when they get on the scale. And numbers don't lie. You can tell me you've been eating chicken and tuna and all that, and I get your cholesterol back, and it's 300, and that you've been taking your medicine, and you haven't. And so spiritually, we can say this. We can say, well, I'm fine. I'm doing good. And what the numbers would tell us would be potentially different. Remember I said last time, 55,000 churches are going to close in the next 7 years. What guarantee do we have that we won't be one of those? 20% are only 20% are growing, and only 1% are growing by reaching lost people. Did that surprise you? Did that statistic surprise you that only 1% of churches are growing by reaching lost people? It should shock us, shouldn't it? But the New Testament is more concerned with church health and church growth, and second, Jimmy's going to read us a couple of verses that speak to that. And so we determine the secret to church health is that it is biblical and balanced. So we looked at the three ministries that a church should have: to God, which is worship, to believers, which is fellowship and discipleship, and to the world, which is evangelism and mercy. And then we looked at individually what that means, that the weight of the responsibility around here should not be on myself and Jimmy. The biblical model for Ephesians 4:11 to 13 is that the weight of the responsibility around here would be on you. We are here to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And so that's the biblical model of individual. And as we said, every member a minister. And then it should be balanced. Congregationally, that means that we as a whole don't pick one thing and we say, well, we're just a good worshiping church, or we're all about missions, or we're all about Sunday school. We don't do that. We have effective ministries and all, but as individual Christians, you will put focus more on one area because that's where God has uniquely gifted you. Okay? So that's in a nutshell. And then I think many of you know the challenge that I laid down. And, you know, evidently that message, I thought I may not be here this morning because I might be told to get out of town, but evidently it's strong with a lot of us because a lot of people listen to it even on the podcast. And remember the challenge. It's on the screen that I laid down for you, I believe. I'll keep going. Keep going. One more. One more. There we go. You and all the members of your church, Christian, are fully responsible before God for what your church becomes, not your pastors and other leaders, you. And then I back that up scripturally. Galatians 1:6, Paul says, why have y'all deserted the gospel that I gave you? And he's not saying that to a group of pastors. He didn't write Galatians to the Shepherd Conference. He wrote it to individual Christians. And he's saying, why have y'all left the gospel? And then in 1 Corinthians 5, when he says, y'all have someone in your membership that is doing sexual sin worse than an unbeliever, why are y'all tolerating it 14 times? The you does not refer to Jimmy,
The you refers to y'all.
Sitting in the seat. So it should be on you. And so I said, we're going to give an account for how we led Crossway.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to give an account for whether you helped or hindered the health of this church. Notice I didn't say the growth, the health. So knowing you're going to stand before God and give an account of that, do you want to know how healthy our church is?
Yes.
They're like this,
no,
yes.
Maybe.
You're going to give an account before God for how healthy our church is. Do you want to know how healthy it is?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right, so Jimmy's going to read us.
We know the speaker system's sick.
Yeah.
We're going to get that fixed, all right? If y'all will, let's just stand. I think you got the scripture on the screen, right?
Should be three.
Okay.
Yeah, go on back. Go back.
Three verses, and they're out of a couple of different translations. So,
go back. One more.
We're going to start with Ephesians 4. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. Next, 2 Corinthians 2:9. And this is the Message translation. The focus of my letter wasn't on punishing the offender, but on getting you to take the responsibility for the health of the church. And then James 3:18, again out of the Message translation. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, we love you. And Lord, we humbly come to you this morning, and we're on our knees, Lord.
Yes.
Coming to you, asking you, begging you to put your hand upon us, to put your hand upon the hearts of everybody here, Lord. We want to see in 2017 more than growth at Crossway, more than more people in the pews or in the seats, Lord. We want to see a community of people that love each other.
Yes.
That will go to bat for each other, that care about each other's heartaches and care about each other's pains and struggles, as well as their joy. And so, Lord, we're asking you this morning to open the hearts of everybody here so that they will know and they will see that the path that Buffy and I intend and want to take this body is a path not just of growth, but a path that as we grow, Jesus and the love of Christ pours out of us.
Yes.
Lord, we love you. We give you all the honor, all the praise, and most of all the glory. In Jesus' holy and sweet name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so, have any of you ever gone to the doctor for a checkup or physical?
No.
What did they do?
Blood work.
Put you on a treadmill? Blood work, listen to your heart.
Put on rubber gloves.
Ask you a bunch of questions. Say, nobody has said the one. Nobody said get on the scale. Okay, I just said it was.
Blood pressure,
right. So a good checkup involves three things. Okay, a look back, a look around, and a look ahead. Let me explain. A look back. What does it do? Well, your weight last time was this, and now it is this. Your cholesterol last time was 312. Have you done anything about that? And then they take a look around. Well, have you got any concerns, anything that's bothering you? You having any kind of chest pain? You know, things like that. What's your current weight, blood pressure? Hey, how are you doing on quitting smoking, stopping drinking, exercising, things like that, right? And then they take a look ahead. The stuff you really don't want to hear about. He brings up, hey, have you had your colonoscopy lately? Your mammogram? How about this painful immunization? We really need to get you up to date on your immunizations. So the same is true of a spiritual checkup. You take a look back, a look around, and a look ahead. And so that's what we're going to do in three parts this morning. So a look back. So as Jimmy and I are talking about these things, a look back. I want you to be thinking in your head, if you were Mr. Marty or you were Miss Amy, what you would give us is a grade, okay? There's two ways you can do it. S-N-U, right? Satisfactory. You know, you're doing okay. N and U is unsatisfactory. Or you can go just a good old-fashioned A, B, C, D, F scale. But think about it as we talk about this. Okay. All right, so first, ABCs. This is how most churches verify their health. Okay? Notice I said most churches. Okay? You can say nickels, noses. Some say butts, buildings, and budgets. This is the ABCs is how I'm going to put it. We put it. A is attendance. So, how we done? Well, it's continued to increase. May-ish, we were the highest ever, around 80 on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And so, we've had 7% baptisms for 3 years running. And as opposed to most Southern Baptist churches that are baptizing kids, what we have seen come to know the Lord is youth and adults. The number one area in Southern Baptist life right now that is being baptized is kids under 6. Now, I have a personal major problem with that because baptism should be a believable profession of faith. But the point being that we're not just seeing people baptized at Crossway that are 5. We're seeing people that are baptized that are adults and youth. Why the 7%? Because the TBC put out a goal for by 2015, I think it's what, 50 million baptisms or something like that.
Yeah.
And Chuck had shared at our Big Hatchie, Chuck Williams from First Baptist, at our Big Hatchie Baptist Association, if every church in our association would baptize 7% of their members each year, we would reach that goal. So Crossway is on that. And Jimmy's going to speak on, you know, something he had noted around
Christmas. If y'all remember, at Christmas time, we had our churchwide Christmas party. We were standing in line, Bobby and I were standing in line to eat, and I just started to look around the room. And the one thing that struck me, the one thing that I noticed was that at least 20 people, it may have been, I don't remember the exact number, but I believe it was at least 20 folks in that room that night were not in Crossway the previous Christmas, including myself and my family. So we're doing a good job. God is answering the prayers of all of us by bringing more people into the fold. But he's adding to Crossway, and he's given us workers for the harvest, but it's our responsibility now to do something about it. We have to equip everybody for the work of the harvest, for the work of the ministry. So that was just encouraging to me. I think it was encouraging to both of us to see that so many folks, so many people in joining us that night had not been in this church or a part of this body the previous year.
So that's attendance. B, building. We've continued to pay down the mortgage. C is cash. And so we increased the budget 3 years running and met it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, I was honestly blown away by this body of believers' faithfulness to the Lord in the arena of giving. Y'all know that I have said it many times. If you send someone to me and I can put a spiritual thermometer in their mouth, I'm going to do it by asking them to show me two things, their checkbook and their calendar. And I can tell you a lot about the spiritual temperature of that person based on those two things. And just based on the spiritual thermometer of our giving, it blew me away. We had a six-figure budget for the first time in the history of this church and for a church that runs under 100 people on Sunday. Not only that, but we had 9 people that then at $3,000 apiece went to Africa. And then on top of that, which we'll get to in a minute, a $13,000 Christmas offering.
Yeah.
I was just blown away.
So you take from, don't skip over your notes here, man. You take from when you first came here, that's a 2.5 time increase. From the first year you were here, what the budget was?
Budget went from 44,000 to 62, 62 to 88, and 88 to 106,000. God has been faithful through us. It blows me away.
Absolutely. The DNE, discipleship and evangelism. I'm going to try to understand your notes here.
Yeah.
From three groups, three small groups that were meeting in this church, which included Sunday school, if you would count that, to now actively running 15 small groups outside the walls of this church. And that's going to be a goal for this next year, is to increase that number, hopefully up to 25. We'll get into all that later. But also 55% participation in 2015 to 75% in 2016. That's Wednesday nights. That's a big increase. And I think we have been, Buffy and I talk about it. We talk all the time. And we talked about, you know, when I first came on board in January of last year, I mean, those of you that would come on Wednesday nights for prayer meeting, what, 6, 8, maybe 12 people show up faithfully every week. To now, what do we have, 20, 25, 30?
At least.
Not just for the meal, but they're staying for the teaching afterwards. So that's such a big encouragement. And that just shows us that, you know, when you go from a, you know, and there's nothing wrong with prayer. We all need to spend time in prayer. Last Sunday night showed us that.
Mm-hmm.
But people are hungry, not just for the food on Wednesday nights. They're hungry for the Word. And so to see that increase from 6 people to 20, 25, 30 every week is absolutely encouraging. Evangelism or Jerusalem, confidential care, Amanda's Way, living his legacy, the Big Hatchie Baptist Association's youth camp, Thanksgiving baskets, it increases every year, not only participation, but the amount of money that is that runs through and that is given. The Judea, the Boys Ranch, Samaria, our disaster. I can't read your notes, man. The Samaria, our disaster relief, and then the uttermost China, Spain, Africa, Ecuador. 22% of Crossways membership. 22% of members of this church on the rolls of this church participated in an international mission trip last year. That's big. 22% of the membership. No other church. I mean, how many other churches can say that? You go to a church that has a pretty big body of believers. How many? I mean, can they say 22% of their members went on an international mission trip? And on top of that, not only did we go on an international mission trip, or 22% of the people here attend or go overseas, but we also planted a church overseas in Africa.
I mean, I think, you know, on the uttermost, you know, it's amazing what God has done through us. I mean, we have touched lives with the gospel on 5 continents this past year. Here, and then in China, and in Ecuador, and Spain, and then in Africa. 5 continents. That's a huge, huge thing for a small body of believers to be committed to do. And then we had our first international church plant, you know, Crossway Kenya. I know some of you are waiting on Crossway Caribbean, but Amy Bowers says she's the founding member of that committee. Just some things I'll say quickly on the 2015 State of the Church, when we did this last year. Some things that I said we needed to address. One, we had no kids at the time, and we were having to beat people to sign up for the nursery and kids. We still are having to do that a little bit, but
that's because there's a whole lot more kids.
Yeah, exactly. Youth numbers were down. Impact attendance was down. That has exploded the youth impact attendance. Wednesday night, as Jimmy pointed out, we rarely had more than 10 people here. Sometimes it's 5 or 6. Now it's 25 or 26. Get them in, get them strong, or get them in, get them healthy, get them strong, get them going is our vision and mission. And so inviting and visitor follow-up was terrible. It still was terrible.
Yes.
So just being point blank honest. Get them healthy. Baptisms, doing good there. Get them strong. We increased our small group participation. And then get them going. We increased the number of people we had by double that participated in an Acts 1-8 service project. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? A, B, C, D, F. Don't shout it out at once. What would you grade us on, taking a look back?
B.
B? There's somebody bold enough to say something.
B.
B? I like your attitude. Because there's always room for improvement, is what I'm hearing.
All right.
All right, so that's a look back. A look around. Okay, I want you to, same thing. Think of that, A, B, C, D, F. All right, the ABCs. Attendance. Look around, the last month, 6 weeks, it's been down. We must do 2 things. We must open the front door and we must close the back door. What I mean by open the front door. When is the last time you invited somebody to church here at Crossway? And if I had to get you up here on stage and we had to grade you, where would you be? Now we're getting serious, ain't we? Close the back door. Again, visitor follow-up, member follow-up is terrible. We have got to get that better. And it is not my job to run around and visit everybody in the church, and it is not Jimmy's job to run around and visit everybody. And so if you're not participating in that, helping to open the front door and close the back door, why not? Why not? Because God has called you to do that. He's called us to equip you to then do the work of the ministry. All right, building, we need space. Add-on ain't an option, which we're going to potentially address that when we get down a little bit further, 2017-2020 goals. And cash, Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary of doing good. You get an A on the giving department, keep it up. Amen? All right, so you can go D&E.
Yeah, discipleship and evangelism. You know, like we talked about, we had three groups meeting just a year ago, three small groups, including that counting Sunday school. This new metric that Buffy and I have talked about is to exclude Sunday school from the way we look at and count small groups, because really and truly, it's not a small group. And it doesn't have the dynamic of what a small group biblically is intended to be. So a small group should be 3 to 5 people. You should have the ability to feel freely to be accountable to each other in that group. And, you know, in the church setting or in a Sunday school setting, you don't have, you know, the ability to do that. Most folks don't feel comfortable sharing prayer requests or talking about their problems or their issues. And that's why it's absolutely imperative that we get this built into this church. We have to do that. We have to give people an opportunity to fight to lean on each other. That's the only way that you grow. It really is the only way that you're going to grow, spiritually grow. Evangelism, again, as he said, Galatians 6:9, don't grow weary of doing good. Every member has to be witnessing, has to be inviting, versus just a select few. And part of that is on us. Part of that evangelism task is on us, because we have to equip you in order to go out to know how to evangelize, to properly evangelize, not just saying come to church on Sunday. So part of that is on us.
Let me throw in there real quick, because I know what some of you heard, because some of you hear with the wrong ears. Some of you just heard they don't care about and we're doing away with Sunday school. That's what some of you just heard.
No.
That is not what we're saying. We're saying, in the grand scheme of things, the way life, God designed it to be lived out, Jesus lived it with 12 men in a discipleship group.
That's right.
That were missional, that were accountable to each other, that then were reproducible, that were communal and scriptural. It wasn't that they got in a Sunday school group and lived out life together. Now I'm going to put him on the spot, and he didn't know I was going to do this, but the Spirit's leading me to do it. So I'm going to ask you, J-Rock, you have been involved in a D group at my house off and on for a year. And you have also attended Sunday school here at Crossway. And I may get the wrong answer, I won't. But you tell me, which of those two has been the most instrumental in your walk with the Lord in 2016? Sunday school or the D group?
Actually both, but the D group.
You see? Why? Because in that 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, I can say, how was your week? And you know what he can do? He can tell me the honest truth.
Yeah.
Instead of what we do when we show up to church, well, how are you doing? We don't really want to know how each other are doing, do we? We just want to hear, I'm fine, and go on down the road. And I can't really hold J-Rod accountable in Sunday school, and he can't hold me accountable in Sunday school like we can inside of this group. You get it? So that's why it's important. We're not saying we're doing away with Sunday school. I want Sunday school groups to grow. I want them to grow so much we need a new building. Amen?
Amen.
So don't get that in your head that we're saying that. So XYZs is what we're throwing. This is another category. So internal service. We talk so much about Acts 1:8 in the world that sometimes I think we neglect Crossway Baptist Church. Do you know what I mean? There are folks in this church that are not using their spiritual gift. And James is clear. He who knows what to do that is right and does not do it, to him it is what?
Sin.
Sin. So some of you are sinning because you are not using your spiritual gift. You would not appreciate it if I didn't use mine and Jimmy didn't use his every Sunday morning to preach, would you? So why would you not use yours and rob me of a blessing? Because I'm not robbing you of a blessing. So get up. As somebody said, we need to get some folks that are servers, not soakers. Contributors, not consumers. Vicky's worked hard on getting the nursery and children worker thing. But if you're signed up for that, be here or be square, right? And we've gotten the AV booth covered, so I thank you to the guys that have been willing to step up on that. But we need a kitchen director hostess. We need somebody that can oversee, you know, that if we suddenly had, you know, a death in Crossway family and a funeral, that this person's going to be sure that all gets done. That helps kind of oversee. We've got ladies that are stepping up on Wednesday night, but we need someone to fill that role. Communication. Jimmy and Amy Darty have gotten the Remind app. That has worked great, but for right now, it doesn't look like, unfortunately, Amy's crying over there, that we don't have any winter weather in the mix soon. But in case we did, I see a couple others frowning. But in case we do, so that it then goes out through the Remind app, so you're not then trying to get your way here at, you know, 9:30 on Sunday morning, we can send stuff out, or if some urgent need, we can send it out.
Let me say something now. I guess I needed somebody to send me a message to remind me because I completely forgot. I was going to bring a sheet for everybody. We don't have everybody in the church in there. Only the ones that we have the numbers of. So if you're not getting messages and you haven't, you know, received a message and you're completely blank to what we're talking about, get with me or Amy after the service and get us your phone number. Write it down on something and give it to us. Next week I'll try to have a sign-up sheet. But get us your phone number, your cell phone number, so that we can send you this information. There's a lot of times that stuff, admittedly so, falls between the cracks between Buffy and I, but we forget to mention something that's going on in the next week, and when it hits us on Monday or Tuesday, it's a good tool for us to be able to send stuff out to you to remind you to and stuff that we've forgotten about. So please get us your phone number, because it doesn't work if we can't then in turn give you the information. We don't have everybody's name and number to get the information to.
If you got your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 1. While you're turning there, I'll just mention that the men's and women's ministries both are working on more than just being their monthly meeting, so we're very happy about that. And there is, we're going to potentially maybe try and get a retreat for each of those ministries together. But 1 Corinthians 1:10, one of the biggest things we've got to fix internally, the XYZ, is unity. We have got to stay unified. Paul, in Noah's favorite book of the Bible, in Ephesians, four, three, he says, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? And so we've got to stay unified. It's not, well, Jimmy said that, or Buffy said that, or somebody else said this in Sunday school, or somebody else said this. It's that we're following Christ and what He has called us to do. And so, just a couple things quickly. Why we exist, you know, it's been said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, right? And so we're going to get some things, probably like some fat heads, of what our mission statement is, which is this, and it's going to be color-coded. We glorify God by making disciples of all nations. We glorify God. That's our ministry to God. That's worship, our weekly worship gatherings. And then by making disciples, that's as we fellowship and discipleship together. And then of all nations, as we then do evangelism and mercy work. And so looking at these ministries, here's some things we need to do to ensure our health. One, Our ministry to God, our weekly worship gatherings, the biggest thing, we've got to fill the music pastor position. Okay, so if you know someone that is potentially interested in that, please tell them to send a resume to us so we can get to looking into that. If it's Trent, please be praying that Kellogg's will get it in their head that he can have every Sunday off. Amen. Amen. So we got to fill that. The AV booth we've gotten taken care of. As I said, someone put it this way, some soakers around here need to get up and serve. And Crossway's got talent. There's some folks that need to be good stewards of the spiritual gift that they've got. Like I said, open the front door, close the back door, and then we're going to hopefully expand the nursery. Anything you want to add on?
Yeah.
Then our ministry to believers. So our goal, remember, is to present every man mature in Christ. So we need some folks praying and breaking bread together. If you don't have the phone number of somebody here that you ain't buddy-buddy with at Crossway, get it. Get 4 or 5 and then text them at 7 o'clock in the morning, how can I be praying for you today? That is hugely encouraging, isn't it? When you know someone is praying for you. Or text them at 7 o'clock at night and say, how can I pray for you tonight before I go to bed? And then, guess what? Get together. Y'all all are going to go eat after we leave here. Some of you thinking, man, we ain't beating the Methodist to the restaurant today. But you're going to go eat, break bread together, and stop doing it with your buddies.
Yeah.
You're not here just to get along with your buddies.
Mm.
Reach across the aisle. Find somebody that you don't know, you've never had a meal with, and say, hey, let's go to lunch. Or, hey, let's get together, a group of us, in our Sunday school, we're going to have, you know, dinner or whatever. So I can get to know, because you can be in Sunday school and still not even know the person that's across the table from you. Amen?
Well, let me just interject here. I was going to wait and say this later, but he's going to open the door for it now. Turn to 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I want you, as you're doing that, just kind of make a look around the room. Just as Buffy was saying, look at all the people across the aisle from you and in front of you, behind you. What do they look like? I mean, most of us sit in the general same spot every week. We sit in the same spot around the same people. And how many of the people sitting around you, in front of you, behind you, do you really know? And I'm not talking about just their name, but how many do you know their hurts? Do you know what they're going through? Because, you know, like he said, we come into this place every week and we'll shake each other's hand and we'll say, hey, how you doing? But do you really, truly want to know how they're doing? Do you know what they're struggling with? Because we're all struggling with something. Every one of us. And if you say you're not, you're lying. We all struggle with something. But do you really want to know what Marty's struggling with, what Trent's struggling with? Do you want to know? Are you asking? Are you saying, hey, how you doing? No, man. How are you really doing? Talk to me. We're not doing that. And so look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For the love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. Mm-hmm. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. Now skip down to verse 19. It says, we love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. We talk a lot. We do. We talk a lot about missions. We talk a lot about Africa, partnering with possibly Gateway this year and going on some of their trips and piggybacking on some of their trips. Also, Kevin has trips planned probably pretty much every month of the year. We talk a lot about this, but let me say that none of that international stuff or nothing, none of that stuff means squat if we're bleeding right here at home. Mm-hmm. If our body is not healthy, then reaching out to other people is sinful. We just read it. Look again at what he says. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people, we can't see, how can we, or that we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot? So we have to make every effort to heal our body and keep our body healthy. Every individual church is like a family, right? We're all like family. And Crossway Baptist isn't any different. We are family here. And that also means that we're not perfect. Like Buffy said last week, we're not always going to like each other. We're going to love each other. And relationship problems, they happen in the body of Christ. And they happen in families. Scripture has examples of it. I think it's Acts 16, I believe, or Acts 15. We see Paul and Barnabas, they had a disagreement over John Mark. And in Philippians 4, Paul challenged two women in the church to settle their disagreement. And then in Galatians, obviously, Paul and Peter had a disagreement. So the truth of it is that nobody enjoys disagreement. Nobody enjoys disunity. Nobody enjoys problems. But we've got to confront it. And I think in large part, that's what Buffy did last week in the sermon, is confronted it. Because if we're going to be healthy, we have to have these conversations. And we have to talk about these things in love. John Maxwell, I love, he says this. He says if there are three kinds of people who address personal conflict in the church. He says there are those he calls the hiders. They just ignore the problems and sweep it under the rug. And what happens? Does it get better? No, it usually gets worse. Then there are the hurlers who love to throw the truth out in the faces of other Christians. They speak the truth, but they don't speak it in love. And then there are what each of us should be desiring to be in 2017 and beyond, and that's the healers. They always seek to heal broken relationships according to the directions of Jesus in Matthew 18. And so I want to say this before I stop. I know I've kind of taken over this thing, but I'm going to say this. If you have a problem with somebody in this church, what's the appropriate course of action? Say it again. Matthew 18. Let me read it to you. Starting in verse 15. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Are we doing this? Honestly, are we doing this? Any of you in here that have had or do have problems with any other person in Crossway Baptist Church, have you followed these directives? If you're not, I want to show you something in the text. If you look at the action verbs here, go privately, take one or two with you, take the case to the church. The mood of each of those is an imperative mood, meaning it's a command. Jesus isn't asking you to do it. He's commanding you to do it. And anything less than that is a violation, and it's sin. So if we're not going to our brothers that we have issues with, and we're just choosing to ignore it, to sweep it under the rug, or just to leave the body and abandon the body in general, we're being sinful. So we have got to make that one of our top priorities in 2017, to keep this body healthy. Because if we don't, there's no sense in any of this stuff. There's no sense in going on mission trips. There's no sense in teaching you and equipping you how to evangelize. If we're bleeding here and we are not determined to keep our relationships healthy, might as well shut the doors and find somewhere else to go.
All right, so God, believers, and then world. And so we are going to make the Christmas offering that we did this year, we're going to make that a yearly thing. I think the Lord put that on most all of our hearts to do that yearly. And then what Jimmy and I want to focus on this year is training you how to live missionally. Okay, what I mean by that, I went and spoke to the WMU and I told them, I want to change my four words that I give y'all to five.
Y'all know the four that I give you as far as fulfilling Acts 1:8? Pray, give, go, don't. Everybody can pray. Everybody can give. Most people can go. Most. Don't grow weary of doing good. Do live missionally. What do I mean by that? That you need to know how to share the gospel and your testimony to win other people to Christ. And we've been training you to do that. We're going to continue to equip people to do that. But then to live out Acts 1:8. I'm having lunch after this service is over with a lady in this church that wants to get a ministry going to seniors, to shut-ins, and to nursing homes. Do you realize it's just as important that someone that's in the nursing home or that is a shut-in to know the gospel and be one to the Lord as the Aborigine in Australia, right? And so we need to live missionally. That's what we really need to focus on doing. All right, so quickly look back, a look around, and then a look ahead. If all of these other things are going well, you're driving down the road, and you know what's in the rearview mirror, and you know your immediate surroundings, but you don't know that there's a deer 150 yards down the road, it may be a disaster, right? So you need to look ahead. So we need to look ahead. So 2017, our theme is this, one word and one passage. I expect you to know this, and we're going to try and ground you in it repeatedly. What we are trying to accomplish this year in 2017 is equip. Equip you. Why? So that you can do the work of the ministry. So that Crossway can be healthy.
And let me say that when we talk about that, when we mention that, equipping is not an event. Just because we're going to focus on that in 2017, that's just something that we're starting to implement and start to focus on now. But it's never going to end.
That's right.
It'll go beyond next year. We're just basically setting our trajectory in the right place in an upward direction. And so one of the things that I want you to realize is when we talk about equip, time is one of the things that that it's the hardest thing for us to grasp when it comes to this subject. So what we do, we live in an instant gratification world. We live in a world where we want things now. We want spiritual growth now. We can come to a class one time and sit through 4 or 6 weeks of some training, and we're spiritual fat cats. But really, spiritual growth is a lifelong task. We will never finish. We'll never graduate from it. And so, in your lifelong pursuit of godliness, in your spiritual growth, there's going to be times when you fall. There's going to be times when you fail. And so I want you to remember in 2017 and beyond, when you do fall, when you do fail, it's okay. All right? Paul said in Philippians 3, he says, this is the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and press on. And so that's what we need to remember is something might happen. Something always comes up in all of our lives, but never forget to get up and press forward and move forward. So this equip thing that we're talking about, we're just implementing it now and going to focus on it now, but it's going to be something that goes on year after year after year.
And so this year, how we're going to do it, think of three S's. The first S is Scripture. And so I've already put that out there that I want you to be considering doing a one-year Bible reading plan. And then at some point during this year, we're going to try and teach you how to study your Bible, because I think some people don't know how to study it and they're embarrassed to say they don't. And so they just go on not knowing how to study it. But the one-year Bible reading plan, it's allowed my wife and I already to have conversations that aren't one inch deep, a mile deep. She came to me this morning, how would you like, your wife come and ask you this? Explain what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
I don't want mine asking.
Some of you are like, huh? But it's allowed us already to have deeper conversations. And so S is Scripture. The other are the three S's. One is Scripture, two is sanctity. To look more like Christ at the end of 2017 than you did at the beginning.
That's right. Yeah.
If you don't agree with our discipleship group, fine. Get in a Sunday school group. I don't care where you're at. Live out life with other Christians inside Crossway Baptist Church so that iron sharpens iron and they look more like Jesus and you look more like Jesus because you're rubbing shoulders together. And then the final S is service.
I would encourage and challenge every Sunday school group in here to serve somewhere outside these walls once every 6 months, and your discipleship group to do the same. We've got plenty of opportunities as a church as a whole. And our Jerusalem, Confidential Care, Amanda's Way, Living His Legacy. We're talking about adopting a school at Austin Peay, Judea, the Boys Ranch. We got Shut-In Senior Adult Ministry that's going to hopefully start. Samaria, we still got Shining Light. We can partner with Gateway. I've talked with Steve. He and I had lunch. They're going to Colorado in the spring, Appalachian in June, Oregon in the fall. If any of that interests you, let me know and we can get together and we can partner with them. The world, we've got a trip set to go to Africa. Kevin's got trips. We still have a relationship with Ecuador. We can partner with Gateway. They're going to Spain in the summer, Colombia in the spring, summer, and fall. And again, we want you to learn how to live missionally right here at home. And then for the next 3 years, this is the goals that Jimmy and I have come up with for the next 3 years. One is 20 total baptisms. That's 5 over the 7% needed for us to help the TBC reach the 2050 goal. Let's not just say, give us 7%. Lord, send us more than that. Then 50% of our members involved in the discipleship group by 2020. That's a small group, 3 to 5 people. We're going to teach you how to do that. And then the Christmas offering yearly. God already blew the top off of that because we had 10 to 20,000 per year and we're already at 13. So we only expect y'all to get better, right? And then, you know, don't kick and scream over number 4, but potentially go to elder leadership. More on that later. We're going to just leave that one right there. As Rod would say, we're just going to set that one right there and we're going to walk on. Number 5, 1 local and 1 international church plant. We already have 1 international. We'd like to see another. And 1 local. That being this, we already have everything in gear for God to multiply us. Maybe the reason God has not allowed us to be able to have opportunity to build onto this building is because that's not His plan for us. And so maybe His plan for us is to multiply off. And just like Gateway, you know, to have Crossway, you know, whatever we want to call it, you know, north or Crossway south, whatever, east and west, I don't care, we'll come up with something. But there is more growth that happens and more people led to the Lord by a church plant than there is anything else, okay? But to do that is going to potentially be some pain on our part because if we had a church plant, this Crossway would have to help that Crossway financially for at least a year. And it would also mean that some of the folks here that we love and all that are going to have to go to that church plant. Okay? Any discussion on that?
No, I think you pretty well covered it. I mean,
No pain, no gain, she said.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I just think what Buffy said is, you know, there shouldn't be a, you know, we all want to see growth. We all want to see more people. But, you know, really and truly, the biblical model is to build outside yourself, build beyond yourself. So, you know, I don't have any interest. I don't know about y'all, but I don't have any interest in building any $10 million buildings. I mean, that's not biblical. But to take some people and send them out and to impact other communities that you wouldn't normally impact, that's the biblical model. And I hope that that all of y'all would get that on your heart or have that on your heart this year.
Turn to Revelation chapter 21, and then we're closing up. Adrian Rogers has said something, and Brother Thomas Bester has said something that has struck in my heart. Their words. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, "Live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back this afternoon." Now, how many of us actually honestly do that? Live as if Jesus is coming back this afternoon. If God zapped you with a vision right now and you knew Jesus was coming back at 4 o'clock, you wouldn't have to worry if the Steelers or Patriots were going to be in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
What would you do between now and 4 o'clock? Probably a whole lot different what we've been doing the last 4 weeks, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Bester said this one time down to Big Hatchie when he was preaching. He said 99.7% won't do. On that day, 99.7% won't do. So I want to ask you, if Jesus came back and you had to grade yourself, would your blank percent do? I think many of us know this verse, but I wonder if we really truly know this verse and know the context of it. Revelation 21:4. Is there going to be any tears in heaven? That's why I don't believe when people say, well, you know, Uncle Larry, he's looking down on us. No, he ain't. Because if he was looking down at this mess that this country's in and this world's in, amen, he'd be full of tears, and there ain't no tears in heaven. But I wonder if we really truly know the context of that. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Why is he going to wipe away every tear? Well, you've been living in a sad world, in a sad situation, and now you're going into the glory of heaven. Maybe it's the sadness that you've experienced. Maybe it's the joy of seeing Jesus Christ in those nail-scarred hands and feet for the first time. Amen?
Amen.
That's going to make some tears flow.
Yeah.
If it don't, then you're lost. Or as Brother Charles used to say, your wood's wet.
That's right.
But I think if you put it in context, what's the best context for that sentence? Paragraph. What's the best context for that paragraph? The one before it. And so look at what is happening just before that. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence earth and sky fled, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So people, my very own family, if Jesus were to come back this afternoon, I'm going to have to watch him be thrown into the lake of fire. Don't you have some? Ain't Jesus going to have to wipe some tears away from your eyes? But then again, don't forget, brothers, that Paul made it very clear. Yes, we're covered under the blood of Christ, but each and every one of us is going to be judged for what we did in this life. And some of us are going to lose a lot of rewards.
Yeah.
And so some of that wiping away tears is because you lost a lot of rewards. And so here's what I want to ask you. If Jesus came back on December 31st, 2017, how many tears is he going to have to wipe from your eyes? Because you necessarily maybe didn't hinder the health of Crossway Baptist Church, but you really didn't do a whole lot to help it either. See what I'm saying? And so as Paul says in Ephesians 3:20, I pray that this is what we continue to experience as we have the last 3 years. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We don't deserve one bit of glory for what God has done here at Crossway in the last 3 years, and I sure don't. It's only Jesus Christ and what he has done in and through us. Amen. And so I pray he continues to work in through us that we can be the healthiest church possible. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Just thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father. We thank you. As my wife pointed out, that your mercies are new every morning, Father. We thank you that every day we wake up, you give us an opportunity, Father, to make this world a better place, and Father, to make our church healthier. And so, Father, I pray that each and every one of us will commit to love you and to serve you and to love the person in the pew beside us, across from us, that, Father, we may not necessarily like. But, Father, because you have called us to love them, we may be faithful to that. And then, Father, not only to know you, but to make you known to all the nations. We ask you would continue to bless Crossway now and forever. And we ask this in the wonderful, power, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And so as we have time for invitation,
I've said before that the scariest verse in the Bible is this, Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed for man to die once, and then the judgment. And so how are you going to stand on judgment day? I know a couple of people, and this is how they're going to stand. They're going to pull out a card, and it's going to say, I am a good Baptist member in good standing. Is that going to be any good?
Nope.
Had a man tell me, he said, man, if anybody's going to get in, it's going to be on Pentecostals. Because they are holy. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, does you no good. Some people are going to stand, they're going to say this. They're going to pull out a little card and it's going to say, I'm a good person. And the word is going to be opened up before them. It's going to say, none is righteous, no, not one. None seeks after God. The only way you and I are going to stand on that day, the way that we need to stand is not a card, but the Christ.
That's right.
And clothed in His righteousness alone. Mm-hmm. That's the only hope I have and the only hope you have. So have you put your faith and your trust in what He did on that cross for you? Because if you have not, and if Jesus were to come back and interrupt the Steelers and Patriots game today, hallelujah, amen. But some of you, it may be a sad end. So have you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? He's calling you this morning to believe in His work on the cross and repent of your sins. Listen to Him this morning. Obey His voice as we stand and sing. Text them this week. Invite them to lunch. Something. Let's start to truly love one another. As Jimmy gave us the challenge in 1 John 4 this week. So I'm going to ask Amy Bowers to show this message service.
Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time that You have given us here with our family at Crossway. Lord, I thank You especially for Your Son Jesus that even though we were in our sin, He came yet and died for us. Lord, I ask You to knit us together, to make us one accord, to unite us in unity with one purpose, to bring You glory. Lord, I ask You to give us strength and to give us compassion for others, Lord, to go out and spread Your word. I ask that You bring us back together again. I ask these things in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, see you guys if you're working next week.
Thank you.
We'll be off here.
Yeah. We'll teach them to strong.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the PowerPoint and everything.
Thank you.
Anyway, I feel like that was her mom.